This is Manada coming from Arya Loka at the 2014 North American Order Convention. It's our last day, and we're sitting here in the best room of the building in the sun porch, and we've got a group of order members here to talk about what it's like to practice, to be in a Tretna in America.
My name is Karina Davey. I live near San Francisco. I've been coming to Arya Loka since 1988. I was, in fact, ordained here in 1993. So it's a very special place to me, one of my spiritual homes. I am a private preceptor and a public preceptor involved with the women's ordination training here in the U.S. and Canada. And it's really lovely to be here on the convention with 50 or so order members from all over the continent. And it has been one of the best conventions, I think, that I've been on. A lot of time for practice and discussion, sharing of our ideas and interests. Yeah, it's just been a really wonderful experience.
Good morning. My name's Amala. I have been around Arya Loka for almost 24 years and live about a little more than a half an hour away, just into Maine. And I am the chair of the Spiritual Vitality Council here at Arya Loka. We have a board and the spiritual council, so I'm chair of the council part. And I'm also one of the two order conveners for the U.S. and Canada with Shanti Nayaka. I'm surrounded by Sangha in my life. I feel great good fortune for that. And it's been delightful to have the convention here in my main place, Arya Loka, and it's felt incredibly harmonious. The murmur of voices, people chatting with each other and connecting, and, you know, little trios will linger on after the meal, and you listen in for a second, and they're talking about deep meditation things or great conceptual dharmic points or strategic points about working in the movement. And there's just a tremendous amount of positive energy going here. It's great.
My name is Shadayu. I am from the east coast of the United States. I live in a town called Kittery, which is just across the river from Portsmouth and about a 30-minute drive from where we're at now at Arya Loka. I've been involved in Triratna since the early 90s when I started coming along to Arya Loka. I lived in the men's community here when there was one for quite a few years. And I now run a small farm in Kittery, which takes up a lot of my time. And I'm involved in the establishment of a new Buddhist center about 3 or 4 years old in Portsmouth. Several of us have started an urban center where we hold regular classes. I was recently made chair regent. I'll be ritually installed as the chair in Portsmouth sometime in November, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's feels like a very exciting time for me personally, and I'm excited about our new community as well. I've had a great convention. It's the largest order gathering I've been on in some time, and the atmosphere has been pretty electric for me. I've really enjoyed sitting with everyone in the morning, and the meetings we've had where we've discussed various issues like Kalyana Mitrata and the development of Real Going for Refuge have been very engaging and inspiring. One of the great things about being here now is being around the newly constructed stupa, which was just finished about a month ago. It's made a huge difference to the landscape here, both physically and psychically. I've been circumambulating the stupa almost every morning and have really enjoyed just the sense of it there. And we had a very big puja last night, sort of a big ending puja of the convention. And we were chanting and circumambulating the stupa in the dark with candles and incense and very large pines surrounding us and the starry sky above. And when we had finished chanting and circumambulating, the sound of the peepers, which are small tree frogs, and the crickets was very loud. And an owl started hooting in the distance in the deep wood. So you really had a sense that the local spirits were taking notice and supporting our endeavors. So it was pretty magic, and I'll remember that as a highlight of the retreat.
So hello, I'm Viradama. I'm based in San Francisco, and I've been involved with Sri Ratna since 1980, and actually was around Aryaloka many years ago when the property was first purchased. And it's really amazing to see how much the retreat center, community center here, has really developed. And this new stupa is a really wonderful crowning achievement for the community here. I'm involved as the chair of the men's ordination team in North America, so I work with men who want to be ordained. And we recently finished a 10-day retreat here at Aryaloka. And my experience here on this convention has been fantastic. I've gotten to get together with friends of mine from all over Canada and the United States. We're very geographically dispersed, so we don't get to see each other very often. And this is a wonderful opportunity just to reestablish the bonds of friendship that we all have.
Hi again, it's Manada. I am part of the Seattle Sangha, but I live in Tacoma, which is about 50 minutes south of Seattle. I'm getting ready to start a new Tacoma Buddhist Center, so very excited about that. This is my first North American Order Convention. I was ordained last year. And it's just been really great being in this context with almost 50 other order members, people that I've grown up with and new people that I've met. A highlight for me has been the conversation around Kalyana Mitrata that Locastro facilitated yesterday. I was really struck by the depth of conversation, the authenticity, and really seeing at a deeper level that Kalyana Mitrata is more than just the framework and the formal structures, but more importantly, really the ground or the foundation and culture of Sri Ratna. So it's been just really amazing to be here. I've really enjoyed it.
Hello, this is Riju Patta. I'm the newest order member in North America. So this is my first convention as well, only being 4 days on from my ordination. I'm feeling very, very excited about being here. I'm very honored. It's a wonderful group of people, and I feel very sort of lovingly folded into the order. I feel very nurtured as I move into this new role. So I'm here with my KMs and my preceptor and lots of spiritual friends and new order members who I have never met. So it's been a very exciting time. The topics have been amazing. The level of practice has been amazing. And I'm just happy to be here and excited about the next one.
Great. Thanks, everyone. We could have a conversation next about what it's like in Sri Ratna, America. So any highlights, any observations, any experiences you'd like to share?
Well, I think that one of the particular characteristics of Sri Ratna in America and Canada is how distant the centers are. We have centers all over the country. And so it's rare for us to get together in large groups, and each center in many ways has to provide most of the resources and the friendship to the communities that they are in, because they have to be very self-sufficient. But it is really striking to come on this convention and see how there in fact is a lot of unity in the order, that people are practicing in similar ways, have similar values, and they all share in this project, this shared project of building Sri Ratna in the United States and Canada, and making the Dharma from our particular tradition available to as many people as possible.
Yeah, that's a great point, Viradama, with how broad and geographically dispersed all the centers are. I did some research once, and I think the United States is about 58 times the size of the UK, just to get a sense of the distances. And just interested in people's experience of that, the distance and those challenges or also positive conditions that can create for us.
I think that, you know, despite the fact that it is quite a challenge, because a lot of us, you know, have to go quite a ways to go to our regular Sangha meetings to meet up with each other, even and many of us have extremely busy lives because we have commitments outside of here, so there are those challenges and those difficulties, but I think that in a way it challenges us to practice spiritual friendship even more deeply, because it kind of forces us in a way to make time for each other, to go out of our way to get together and to do things and to really work on the Dharma together. So I think that there's two sides of the coin in a
right.
way.
Yeah, it's a great point.
I think it is quite amazing, really, that we have the unity and the friendships that we've built from coast to coast, you know, in different regions of the country and Canada. I think that it really takes a commitment to be able to get through the ordination training, even going on these annual retreats that are sometimes on the East Coast, sometimes on the West Coast. We had some in Montana even. You know that people are really wanting to go for refuge and that they are resonating deeply with what our order has to offer them in their practice, and they want this connection. So I think the fact that it is maybe a little more difficult is an advantage, as you say.
An opportunity for us to really clarify mm-hmm. and be clear about our commitment and what we're really wanting.
Just thinking about this feature of the effort that we've each made to join the order out of the U.S. context, I'm of a generation that was the first so-called homegrown order members, where all of my preparation was here in the States. I didn't actually go on any retreats in the UK until I'd already been ordained. And it makes me think about Karuna Devi. I'm sitting right next to her here. I remember very vividly your public ordination in 1993, right here at Aryaloka. There's a great resonance because Rijupata was ordained just a few days ago, sitting in the same spot with Dhammarati presiding. And Bhante was your, well,
public.
Public preceptor, but he was, he's everything. So, Bhante ordained you, and it was a very significant moment because it was the first public ordination held here in the U.S. Since then, there have been many. And, I can remember when I was starting to be more active and going overseas, and I actually was ordained in Italy, people didn't realize that at our centers and through our Sangha over here, we've always had everything, just about. And we are completely providing the full path and the full possibilities of Triratna life, the spiritual life within Triratna. So while each center does have to be pretty self-sufficient, I was thinking about Portsmouth. You're starting to get a lot of mitras, and there's 17 mitras in a center with only one order member in Portland, a bit north of here. So it becomes a huge responsibility as people begin to commit. Mm-hmm. But boy, it's needed, it's wanted. People are really responding to what we have to offer.
Yeah, I was really struck with finding out there was 88 order members in North America and Canada, and 15 were ordained since the last convention. So roughly almost a 20% increase just since the last convention. So really exciting, the growth, and what you're speaking to. People are really hungry for the Dharma and really wanting this.
And I think that speaks in a very strong way to what Amla was saying, is that we do have the whole package here. There's a very, very strong practice with the order members who are senior here. There's a very, very strong program here. And I think it just inspires people to go deeper and inspires people to commit.
Yeah.
It progresses all the time. It gets better all the time, just as we all do. But, it's here. We've got it.
One of the things that is striking to me, having first come into contact with the order back in 1980, is that back in 1980, the range of possibilities for Buddhist practice in the United States were much more limited than they are today. And there's been a huge increase in the number of sanghas, the styles of practice, the ways that you can practice, the availability of information on the internet. And the Triratna approach is actually a very distinctive approach. We have a focus on ordination, which is not lay and not monastic. There's definitely a very strong spirit of social engagement within the order. There's ordination both for men and women. And it's a new tradition offering a particular opportunity for practice in our modern society. And I think all of us on this convention feel that we are actually part of creating this new style of practice and learning what it is that is helpful to people today and how we can help each other practice and transmit that Dharma to future generations.
I was just going to say that I remember the ordination in 93. I was here as well when Karuna Devi and Saramati were ordained. And there were a lot of firsts for me around that ordination. I had only started coming in 92, so I met Bhante for the first time. And I saw an ordination for the first time. And I met a lot of people from the West Coast. And there's this quirky little episode that I've always remembered, and it was just a stupid, quirky thing, but it meant something to me at the time, and it still means something, but I hadn't met Arya Daka yet, and we were all out on the back porch for some reason, and Arya Daka handed me a pine cone, and I hadn't met him, and I said, well, what's this? He said, oh, it's just a gift. And I was like, okay. And I was 22, 23 at the time. And I thought it was kind of the coolest thing that had ever happened to me, in a way. It's such a bizarre experience, such a quirky thing. But I held on to that pine cone for quite a while. I had it on my shrine and stuff. And I think what it represented to me was just how I could not even know someone involved in the movement, and yet they could just be completely friendly and open and a bit quirky with me, and it was fine. And that somehow I felt an immediate relationship with that person. So that's just something I remember from the very early days of Arya Loka, one of my first kind of experiences of a broader sense of the order.
So we're on the last day of the convention. I thought it'd be nice for us to just share some highlights, things that stand out for each of you.
I can start. So, I mean, aside from just being around a fantastic level of practice and being able to be with everybody, one of the things that I really enjoyed was we had a topic discussion around Young Sangha, which was a very, very vibrant group of people, and we got really deep into it. We didn't want to stop, so we actually went over time, but it was fantastic to sort of start thinking about the topic, a very relevant topic in North America, and to sort of begin to have a wider conversation about how we can boost young Sangha presence and to help younger folks go deeper, and it was great. Excellent start to the discussion, and it was really intense and exciting.
I think one of the highlights for me wasn't one particular gathering among the many that we had, but there was a sort of a melody or a theme that surfaced in a few areas, and that was, I suppose broadly, it could be deepening our practice, but it came up as real going for refuge. Once we're ordained, we're continuing to go for refuge further and further, and how does that create a context for our meditation. So I felt the relationship in the meditation workshops that we had, and I felt the relationship in the conversation we had around developing insight. So it was a wave that kind of surfaced in a few discussions. And I really appreciated the reminder that going for refuge is the context for everything we do. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift from Bhante,
right?
That emphasis.
Yes, I agree that there was, looking at the convention as a whole and the different ways that people were tapping into what's important to them about the order and the discussions that needed to happen and sharing their approaches to meditation and the time to meditate together and do devotional practices together. Yeah, I enjoyed, like, this morning, having the breathworks, information about breathworks. It was just really valuable. And the Kalyana Mitra discussion that we had yesterday, I'd say those are, like, really two highlights for me from the convention. And it just seemed like it was very participatory. Everybody was just there, present, and willing to speak. And, like, we all know each other every year. Every time we meet, we know each other better. And so there's more of that openness and willingness to share with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the meditation practice in the morning, having some good long periods to sit. And not only that, but also being able to talk to people about meditation and to process what happens. Because right on day one, I had a very strong sit that really shook me up, and I had to seek people out to speak about it. So I spoke with about four or five people and got some really good insight into my practice. So I really appreciated that. And just the sense of being supported by people, by being able to communicate like that, but also the sense of collective practice in the shrine room when everyone was quiet and just meditating. It was very, very good as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really struck by what Viveka called having real conversations in her recent talk at the European Order Convention, that in all of our discussion groups, it just felt like we were having real conversations and that the dialogue was more important than perhaps even the content or where we land on a particular issue, and felt people were really listening and wanting to hear different perspectives. And that was really, it was really cool to be part of that.
I had the same experience as you, or I can resonate with what you just said, Manida, that the quality of communication and the appreciation of the fact that we're so engaged with each other is really meaningful. So it's about connection.
Mm.
And Karina Devi mentioned being with each other over the years. We have more confidence to bring to the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel every time we do that, when I'm in conversation with you, you're part of a much wider international network with public preceptors, or someone else is part of an international network because they go to, you know, meetings somewhere else. Anyway, the international part of the connection also feels alive for me here.
Yes, I think it's important, too, that on our conventions, we always have Dhammarati. This year we have also Sangha Devi and Lokeshvara, who bring in that reminder that the order isn't just us here in the U.S. and Canada. And I was thinking about how earlier on, in earlier days, in the 80s, 90s, that it seemed, well, to me anyway, more essential that we have connections with the wider order, because we don't have as many resources here and not so many order members to draw on. And I always appreciated when order members would come over from the UK to lead things in San Francisco or here, and come on our ordination training retreats too. And now that we have more order members and more going on, it's great. And also it presents a more of a challenge for people to recognize that we are a worldwide order, that the order isn't just what we got here. The movement isn't just what we have here. So it's an interesting evolution as we grow larger and we become more self-contained, and we have the capacity to have ordinations right here on the spur of the moment, you know, because we have a public preceptor, we have more private preceptors, and yet we still need to look at how we keep alive that experience of the wider order.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad you shared that. I'm curious, the group in general, any thoughts on how we can do that, support each other? And
I think I'm really encouraged by what I see as, you know, a real fortunate development, me coming into the order at a time when it seems like the organizational structures are really coming together, where it seems like, you know, we have representatives from here going quite often to the UK and talking with the larger bodies and really working out the systems with which we communicate with each other over vast expanses. And, you know, we've got the Buddhist Center online, which is a great way to sort of, like, you know, bond us together in a lot of ways. And, yeah, it just seems like a really vibrant time to be coming into the order, because it does seem like, while we are separate, the structures are starting to fall into place where we can really communicate very well with each other.
I always feel that the friendships around the world are still the main way that we stay connected, or that it's really alive. People we were ordained with who live in other countries, and if we were on a retreat, an international retreat when we were ordained, and those of us who do travel a bit, we make friendships elsewhere, and then periodically other people are coming here. So I know that's very informal and kind of intangible, but I still think it's those friendships that carry a tremendous amount through the order. In addition to the structures like the International Council, chairs meetings.
Yeah, it seems also supporting the international order conveners like you and Shantanayaka. Really supporting that process and supporting people who are coming up or potentially interested in that role.
Mm-hmm.
Important.
Could it be that structure really is serving the mission instead of taking over?
I was just going to say, well, especially that the sort of the sense of what we're doing has seemed to have broadened its scope. I mean, the International Council meeting in India a couple of years ago, I mean, so important to have that there, I think. And just to be starting to think of the Srivatna community as much more than, you know, sort of just located in Europe, but really taking in that all of us have a very large role and lots to communicate with each other. So, yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the International Council, because that is helping to bridge this awareness of the worldwide order and all of us participating in an equal way in that. And then also the Buddhist Center Online and Free Buddhist Audio. I mean, we didn't have that in the early days at all, and it's made a big difference. Yeah, it's true. People don't have to travel so much to get that awareness, though I think traveling and being there, too, is of value.
So I thought it'd be great to finish with us sharing more about our names and what it means.
Karuna Devi means, well, there are various ways of saying it. What I've been saying most recently is luminous being of compassion.
Amala is a Sanskrit name, and it means stainless or pure, both in the ethical dimension and also in relation to shunyata.
Shadayu is made up of shuddha and ayu, and shuddha is essentially purity or even authenticity, something that is unmixed. And then ayu is striving. So when I was given the name, Subhuti told me that I was very authentic in my practice, but I had a lot of purification to go.
So, how's that going?
Good. So yeah, the name both signifies my efforts, but also reminds me of the work yet to come, the work yet before me.
So my name is Viradhamma. It's a Pali name. It was given to me when I was ordained in India in 1994. And my preceptor said that the sense of the name was that one who is committed to teaching the Dharma.
My name is Manida, and it means holder of the jewel. It was given to me by Viveka, my private preceptor, and I'm really glad it's a short name.
Rijupata means he who walks the path of uprightness, directness, and honesty. And it was given to me by my preceptor, Bodhipaksha.
Great, well, that wraps it up for us, and I wanted to thank everyone and Chandradasa too for helping with all of this. You can subscribe to our podcast online and stay tuned for more events.
Bye!
Thank you.